This is a beautiful sight to me, to look and see our church gathering on the first Sunday of 2021. Happy New Year, everybody. We are so very grateful for our front yard. It served us well this year, but it's a swamp today. We're also grateful for the back end of our facilities. Welcome to the very end of our facilities. We're grateful for a parking lot. And I'm very grateful for a warm building that next week we can gather in. And so we look forward to seeing you all inside next Sunday morning. God has been so very gracious to us in 2020. And being able to preach outside one last time, I think is very appropriate as I give this state of the church address this morning. What is the state of the church here in 2021? Well, the church is alive. Amen. Here we are. Our church still has a living Savior who has promised to build his church, and even the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. You are living proof that the church is doing okay. And yet, we all know that there are some challenges that we face, even though we claim the promise that the church will advance. With the knowledge that Jesus is still on the throne, there still is a bit of uncertainty that we have as we go into this next year. Let me address some of this uncertainty and a few of these challenges. Well, the first is obvious, and that's the challenge of the church assembling. You know, the word church literally means to assemble. We are the church today because we've assembled today. Here we are, chair to chair, face to face. We're the church this morning. Well, 2020 gave us a lot of challenge in the church assembling. I think many local churches passed the test, including Open Door. We assembled. We were faithful. By God's grace, by his help, by way of hundreds upon hundreds of Zoom meetings, hours and hours of discussion, we as a church were able to maintain the majority of our ministries, and I believe we've even increased our witness into our community in 2020, and to that we should give much thanks and praise. There have been many churches that pushed the pause button on 2020, and they're still in that pause mode. Pray with me for them, that soon they would again gather and assemble themselves. It takes a lot of local churches that are gospel-centered and gospel-driven to reach a growing community like ours. And so let's make sure we're encouraging our other brothers and sisters and other churches to do likewise. But I am looking forward to getting back into a rhythm of gathering in our facility next week, and I hope that you will heed the encouragement that Pastor Ryan gave us this morning. Not only do we face the challenge of the church assembling, we also face the challenge of a growing cultural opposition to Christianity. Now, this has been growing, but in the last year or so, the growth of the cultural opposition to our faith seems to be increasing. Today, in our community and throughout our nation, there seems to be this increasing pressure to label biblical Christianity as dangerous and to identify gospel-centered Christians as haters who hold irrational beliefs. It didn't seem to be that as much in the past, but it does seem like this is increasing in the present. We live in a day where many would call what you and I believe as phobic, as irrational. And many would consider a church like ours as the enemy. And some churches, unfortunately, have already surrendered to the cultural pressure and have begun to adopt unbiblical practices and policies even within their churches. I'm thinking of issues such as same-sex relationships and gender choice. I believe the challenge that we face this year and in the years to come is those of us who will remain committed to the authority of God's word, we will continue to face opposition and eventual persecution even in our communities. Maintaining the mission of the church will demand that all of us, not just church leaders, but every church member, to be able to give a defense, a loving, yet gracious, yet confident defense of who we are and what we believe. And I think that maintaining biblical marriage and being devoted to the scriptural principles of parenting is going to be absolutely necessary for our health and for our survival and effectiveness as a church. And we're going to speak to these in 2021. The challenge of the church assembling, the challenge of cultural opposition to biblical Christianity. The third is the challenge of the local church's relationship to the government. Now, the news this past year has been ridiculous. Let's just be honest. We've lost any sense of trustworthiness when it comes to the news. But if you've been wise and discerning, if you've been trying to listen to what is going on in the media and watch what's happening in our culture and with politics and government, this past year has completely blurred the lines in our relationship to the government as the church. Two distinct entities. But the lines seem to have blurred. Now, some churches have given way too much authority to the state and placed way too much hope upon politicians and government officials, hoping that in some way the state, the government, will solve cultural problems. These problems can only be solved by gospel-driven churches. Now, others have declared the state and the government to be the enemy of the church. And they have seemed to forget God's command for us to submit to our governing authorities when possible. Now, our primary commitment is and always will be to the church, because the church and the church alone is that institution that has been redeemed by Christ, and therefore the church is the only institution that can redeem a culture. Government cannot redeem culture. Please understand that. At the same time, as a church, we must exist within the state. And we've been given the responsibility to do that, like Joseph did, like Daniel did, like Jesus did. But the challenge is to make sure we understand these two institutions and their purposes well. so that we can make sure that as the church, we know our role and our mission. The fourth challenge that I think that we face in 2021 is the challenge of personal holiness. Now, as you know, as culture drifts away from biblical Christianity, so do we, because we're a part of culture. And the drift is slow. But after some time, we become, even as the church, less and less holy, less and less like Jesus Christ. And that is taking place. And so what we need to do is face the challenge of reclaiming the necessity of personal holiness or Christ-likeness. If there was ever a time for the followers of Christ to imitate his holy life, it is now. And I think that this is going to be necessary for our witness, because our witness demands that a non-believer sees us as different and then receives an invitation to consider who we are, what we believe, and how we live. And I think that as culture continues to move away from the principles of Scripture, that it will necessitate the strong believer to be able to continue to be steadfast and to stand for what he or she believes. I do not think this next generation will be in any ways helpful for the weak Christian. I think it's going to be very dangerous for the undisciplined and the undiscipled Christian. This is not the same community or nation in which you were born. If I can quote that famous theologian, Dorothy, from The Wizard of Oz, we ain't in Kansas anymore. And we need to adjust to that. No, now is the day when we figure out how we communicate exactly what we believe and what makes us different. Now, the challenge is that personal holiness will always clash with cultural Christianity. Personal holiness clashes with cultural Christianity. And that's going to make a distinction amongst Christians or those who claim to be. And we need to be willing to face that challenge. We need to be set apart for holiness, but not separated from the world. That's one of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to holiness. They think holiness is separate myself from the world. That's not what Jesus invited his disciples to do. He wants them to live in the world, just to be set apart from the world, to be holy like he is, as a way to advance his gospel. And so we need to figure out what this looks like and what it means to be set apart so that we can display Christ in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our businesses, etc. So now here's the question that we're going to address this year. What does it mean for us to have the minority voice in our culture and yet live as fulfilled exiles in this world? What does it mean? It's imperative that you understand now in 2021, as people committed to Jesus Christ and to the teachings of Scripture, we're the minority voice. If you cannot get that in your head, then you have missed what's been happening. We are the minority voice, and yet we're the strongest, we're the most fulfilled and complete voice. Now, what does it mean to be that? What does it mean now to live in our community as if we are the immigrants and the exiles? And because of this question and the reality that we face, I have decided to preach through 1 Peter, beginning here in a couple of weeks, up until the summer. Because 1 Peter is the perfect letter for churches that find themselves as exiles and yet are advancing the gospel. And we're going to walk through 1 Peter's letter so that we can face these cultural and government and state and local challenges and learn what it means to live out our faith in a way that will advance the gospel. Now, I'm just going to share a couple of verses this morning. And these may be the summary verses of Peter's first letter to the churches. 1 Peter 1, if you'll find that. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Hear God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is unperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter had denied Jesus. He found renewed faith as he witnessed the resurrection of Jesus and experienced the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. He was a changed man. And now he is a leader of the church. From apostle, he now functions as a pastor. And he is shepherding the church that is now being scattered throughout the known world because of persecution. That's why I find this an important letter for us to study right now. And Peter begins by giving praise to his heavenly Father for so great a salvation that he has granted to those who have placed faith in his Son, Jesus. And this salvation, if you look closely at verse 3, comes as a gift of his grace and a display of his rich mercy. I love that song that we just sung, His Mercy is More. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has caused us to be born again. Your salvation is God's doing. It is God who causes us to be born again. And this salvation now carries along with it two important promises that we see in this text. The first promise is we are saved to enjoy a life where our hope is alive. Because Jesus is alive. We are saved to enjoy a life where our hope is living, because Jesus is living. And second, we're saved to enjoy an eternal inheritance that we will receive from Jesus one day when he returns. Friends, we are saved to a living hope. Let's think about that for just a second. What is hope? You know, I think for many, hope or hopes are like wishes. And often they don't come true. You might hope that your favorite sports team wins. You might hope that you'll get a promotion at work. You might hope for a relationship to improve. There's lots of things that people sort of hope for, they sort of wish for. Now, we know everybody has hopes, but we also know that not all of our hopes are fulfilled. Not everybody's hopes are appropriate. Not all are proper. And for many people, even though they hope, their hope is not alive. And after constantly dealing with false hope or dead hope, they become hopeless. And there is hopelessness all over our community today. Many people suffer from unfulfilled hope, which leaves them empty and hurting. But here's what we know just from looking at these verses. That Christianity is the opposite of hopelessness. It's the opposite of heaven. It's the opposite of Christ. We are not hopeless. No, we as Christians have a living hope because we have a living Christ. And now that we know we have this living hope, what do we do with that? Now, again, everybody has hopes, dreams, desires. And many people are striving for what we call the good life. And 2020 has challenged for many people what this good life is. And this question, I think, is so essential. What does it mean to experience the good life? What does it mean to flourish as a human? What does it mean to be fulfilled? This is such an imperative question because this is what drives most people. And this is what drives a lot of people into despair and depression. But not us. So important is this question. This is going to be the topic of our Revive Conference beginning next Sunday. Next Sunday morning, inside, 9 and 11. And then Sunday night through Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we are going to address this question. What is the good life? And as imperative as it is for you to know what this means, it is even more important for your children to know this. And the only place they are going to be instructed on what the good life is from a biblical perspective is in this church and in your living rooms. We must understand this and be able to communicate this. So please come. Please come. It is in pursuit of this good life that has left so many hopeless, but not for us. It's very clear. We, whom God has caused to be born again, He caused us to be saved, to have a living hope. The Christian has hope. We have hope in the forgiveness of sin. We have hope in experiencing the great love of God. We have hope of obtaining eternal life. You see, our hope is the confident expectation that God will accomplish His perfect will in us and through our church. And that makes us a people of hope. And that makes our hope alive because our hope is Jesus Christ and He's living. You see, ultimately, our hope rests not in us, but in Jesus, who by the power of His resurrection gives us assurance that your life and my life are destined for glory. That's something that we can communicate to people who are hopeless. Now, you know this because you have experienced misplaced hope in your life. I have. And hope can be easily shattered when it's placed on ourselves or on other people. But my encouragement this year, as we study 1 Peter, is for us to place our hope on the character, the person of God, so that we can be guaranteed by the Spirit's power to experience living hope. That's why Paul, as he was writing the letter to the church at Rome, said, "May the God of hope fulfill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I love that. In Christ, all the promises that we see in the Scriptures that God has given us are true and amen. Our hope is secure. We're saved to enjoy a fulfilled life where our hope is alive because of Christ. And we're also saved to enjoy an eternal inheritance that we will receive from Christ. Verse 4, to an inheritance, one that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you, who, by the way, God, by his power, is guarding this for us. And that's why our faith needs to be placed in him. So our hope for salvation, our hope for forgiveness of sin, our hope to have a loving relationship with God, all of that has been secured. Our home in heaven is secure. Eternal life is assured for anyone who has placed saving faith in Jesus Christ. I love this concept of our hope being guarded by God. I mean, who else would you want to guard your hope? Who else would you want to guard your inheritance other than God himself? I enjoy watching football, especially this time of year. And as a former high school quarterback who was not very good, I still can appreciate those who tried to guard me, the guards, the tackles, right? That front line. To really appreciate football, you watch the line, and you watch them guard their quarterback. You watch them guard the football. You watch them push and advance against the opposition. Your home in heaven, your inheritance, is being guarded by God himself. Now, to believe that is to have hope. To believe that is to enjoy a living hope. I don't know if any of you have read Dante's Inferno. Anybody read that old book? A few? Pick it up. It's a little scary. Dante was trying to envision what hell is like. And so he writes this long book. It's a little weird at times, but it does the job of getting you to consider what hell is like. And Dante imagines that there's gates that people have to go through to get into hell. And above the gates, there's a sign that simply says, "Abandon all hope of all who enter in." Now that's hell. The abandonment of hope, which makes heaven the home of hope, the place of hope. Heaven is the sure promise of hope fulfilled. So what I am asking for this church to do in 2021 is to pursue your living hope. Pursue your living hope. Now, how are we going to do that? And what is 2021 going to look like? Now, I'm a bit afraid to ask this question because I asked the question last year. And I'm not a prophet, obviously, from what I said last year at this time. I have no idea what God will do in 2021. But nonetheless, here's our desire as a church. as we pursue a living hope. This needs to be first a year of rebuilding. Now, we've already spoken a lot about gathering regularly. That's on the top of the list of our member expectations. We will assemble. We will gather regularly. And so we're doing that now. We'll continue to do that. We commit ourselves to that. And I'm not going to allow this very simple piece of fabric on my face to keep me from seeing you face to face on a Sunday morning. And I don't want you to either. Let's gather. We're going to do it next Sunday in our building. And I'm looking forward to that. But as we're rebuilding, we're going to also need to just do a complete analysis of all of our ministry, all our ministry areas. We need to see what do we need to get started again so that we can get those things started. We need to examine areas that need to be strengthened, and we're going to do that. And then there's going to be some ministry areas in the past that just either need to be reimagined, changed, or buried in the past. And we're going to figure that out, because what we want is those ministry areas that are going to be most helpful to you and to us for us to fulfill our mission. And so we've got some rebuilding to do. As you heard in Pastor Eric's prayer, we have a new staff structure. And I think this new staff structure is going to allow us to serve you and your families well this next year. We exist to serve you, and I think that with this new plan, we're going to be able to do that better. I'm excited about being able to present to you a holistic ministry plan for your children, from bed babies through college, that will allow them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to grow wise unto salvation and know what it means to become a follower of Jesus. We've got to make this commitment, all right? We've got to go now the extra mile with our children. They are not going to be able to survive if they are not discipled well. And so we're going to emphasize that. And then, of course, we need to make sure that we get back to the fellowship that we all enjoy through our care groups, because that fellowship and those relationships are crucial for us and crucial for the health of our church. All right, so it's going to be a year of rebuilding. We got to figure out, okay, who we are, all right? We got to get a sense of our membership, who's active, who have we lost. And so we're going to work really hard to do that at the beginning of the year. But also, 2021 is going to be a year of discipleship. To have a living hope means we have to pursue personal holiness, right? And so again, part of our member expectations is to abide in Christ faithfully. Right? That personal relationship with Christ, that's discipleship. And we're going to ask the entire church to go through a discipleship tool, a plan that we've put together. Right? There's nothing magic about it. It's just the Bible. And we're going to make sure every one of you walk through that so that we will be encouraged that you're pursuing personal holiness. But then also, having gone through it, we're going to ask you to start using this with others, one-on-one, one-on-two. That's so good to have those relationships. You do it with your children, do it with your friends, neighbors, and we're going to promote this church-wide so that we, as the elders, have a stronger sense that our members can help others to grow in Jesus. This is going to be a year of discipleship. It's also going to be a year of witnessing. You know, one of the things I look back on in 2020 is all the baptisms we had out in the front yard, that old funky tub, and we just celebrated so many baptisms. But even more in 2021, that's my prayer and my hope. Listen, you have to understand that everything that's happened with the pandemic, with the cultural chaos, with all of the tension, it really has left a lot of people hopeless. And all the more reason for us to have conversations to share the good news, to have relationships with those who are not Christians, and be there to lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And so living missionally, again, that's a member expectation. And this is what we're going to emphasize. And I want for us this year to celebrate that. Oh, just I hope we have dozens and dozens of testimonies this year that we all can celebrate the fact that you're living missionally. So let's make this a year of witnessing. And finally, let's make it a year of prayer. We need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit like never before, and it is only the Spirit of God that can give us living hope, and so we've got to ask for it. And it is only God who can bless our church to fulfill the mission, so we must plead for it. And so I'm inviting you to come alongside the elders, and let's increase our commitment to prayer. And then, folks, your health as a Christian and as a member of this church absolutely demands your exercise, the exercise of your gifts through service. And it's been hard for a lot of you to serve. And so we're going to just help you find opportunities to get involved and serve this year. We need that. And continue to love each other sacrificially. Please, let's do that here first in God's house, and then let's do that out in our community. And let me just again say thank you for the generous giving. It is such a display of God's favor upon us and a display of your faithfulness that we have exceeded our 2020 budget. I mean, that really is something to praise God for. And I want to thank you for your giving. Let's continue to do so. We've got a large mission to fulfill. I just want to take a couple minutes and pray. And as I'm praying for you, would you be praying? This is a time of recommitment, a time of renewal, and a time that you're going to say, yes, I'm going to pursue this living hope that we talked about today. Father, we begin this new year in absolute submission to your will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yet, Father, that's exciting because we place our faith in you and our trust in you. Our hope is in you, and that will not disappoint us. Hope in you will never disappoint. And so whatever 2021 will hold, Father, we're there. We're ready. And as we pursue Christ's likeness, all the more, as we strengthen our faith, I pray that it will strengthen our witness, strengthen our service, strengthen this church. Father, make Open Door Church a lighthouse in this community. We don't mind looking different. We also don't mind telling others why we look different. And so I pray that you would give all of us a greater sense of confidence just simply to lovingly have conversations and to proclaim the truth about your Son, Jesus. And Father, would you help us? Protect us from sin. Help us to disciple our families. We pray for our children. Help us to take this discipleship opportunity very serious this year. And Father, we do want to celebrate every blessing that you will give us. We're your church, Jesus. You bought us. You paid for us. We belong to you. And we're grateful that you're going to give us your hope and that you're going to continue to guard our home in heaven until you return. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.